Hallelujah. 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 Wow. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, I can't stop saying thank you, Jesus. That was my sermon this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. We're in the river. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, rulers and authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." All things were created through Him and for Him. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." One version says, "And for Thy pleasure they are created." How many know that we were created for Him? And most of us will acknowledge, yes, that God created all things. But sometimes when we hear we were created for Him and for His pleasure, that somehow we can think that that means my freedom is threatened. The world is threatened by the gospel of Christ. They're threatened by the gospel of the cross, because the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. And so when we hear about the gospel of the cross, the gospel of the cross means that I also must identify myself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That I also must deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him. And when we hear that, the natural man says, "Nuh-uh. I want to do my own thing. I want to be Lord of my own life. I want to be in control of my own destiny. I don't want to have to give that over to somebody else." Because there's a part in every one of us that wants to be God. That was the problem with the fall, was it not? That was the big temptation. Oh, God knows in the day that you eat thereof, you shall, you know good and evil. You shall be as God. Wow. And because of that fallen nature, we all have that tendency to lean towards wanting to be independent from our Creator, even as believers. Now, don't look so sanctified this morning. We do a lot of things independently of the Lord. However, there is freedom in that place of intimacy with God. There is freedom in our Father's house. As sons and daughters with access to the throne of grace, to our Father's, amen, His house, there is liberty there. It doesn't mean that we're all just like this, you know, and on remote control, and God says do this, God says do that. No, we're children in the house of God, and we've been given liberties within that place. But within the boundaries that God has placed upon us, there's safety in boundaries. How many would agree that? There's a reason why there's a stop sign out there. It protects us, doesn't it? It's designed to protect. So the Word of God is given to us to protect us, not only to protect us, but to reveal to us the heart of the Father. Not just the requirements of God's perfect law, but it's to reveal the heart of the Father to us. The law points us to Christ. Because in the law we find something impossible to fulfill in of ourselves, our own willpower, our own strength. You may have some success in living according to all the rules that are written in here, but eventually you're going to fall on your face, because what we need to do is we need to come into a whole new way of thinking, We need to move away from the old and we need to enter into the new. We need to forsake death and come into life. The law was given and the law was good and the law is true and the law is holy. However, the law led to death because it was void of the life, the essence, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when Jesus came, He's saying, if you've seen Me, Philip, you've seen the Father too. I've come to reveal to you not the law as it is written, but the heart of the law, as He is the Word. Amen? And He revealed the heart of the Father to us. So the law is good, it's perfect, it's holy, but by our own selves, it's impossible for us to live up to the demands of the law. So we have to shift our thinking away from myself being the agent of salvation, to the One who alone is able to save and keep, to the One alone who empowers and enables me, because when I walk in relationship with Him, I don't want to do things that hurt Him. Rather than I have to do this or else. How many of you love your kids when they just obeyed you because they knew that if they didn't, they're going to be in trouble? No, you want them to obey you because you love them and you know it's best for them. And so God loves on His people. And it's not like he's not this hard taskmaster up there with a hammer. You've heard it, you know, ready to knock us out when we mess up. He's trying to teach us something. He's saying, just trust Me. Just trust Me. Take yourself out of the position of being Savior. Because I am your Savior. Not only do I save, but I keep that which belongs to Me. That's a good place to be, in His arms. Freedom, as the world looks at it, is having, you know, casting off restraints and boundaries and just doing whatever I feel like because it felt good. And there's a nature in all of us that wants to do the same thing. There's one part of us that is not smart. Would you agree? But there's a new part of us, if you're born of the Spirit, that is saying, this is the way. Walk in life. Walk with Me, and I'll protect you. Amen. I'll lead you beside still waters. I'll bring you to a green pasture. I'll give you rest for your soul. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you if you follow Me. Because wherever Jesus is, there's goodness and mercy. So we were created for His pleasure and His purpose. This is very important that we come to grips with this. This is the most important thing we need to understand. This morning, Frank, you said it. We need to get back and take a look at the beginning before we can understand the end. And I want you to turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. That just confirms it. There's three things that we see here. First of all, it says, then the Lord God took the man. Remember? He created him out of the dust of the earth, out of the soil, breathed in him into his nostrils the breath of life. And what did he do? He took the man, first of all. Took the man. That means that we are under his authority. Mankind was created by him and for him. The proper place of mankind is under the authority of God. Would you agree? He took the man, and then it says he put him into the garden. What does that mean? God placed him in the location of his choosing. First thing, you need to be under authority. You need to be under God's authority. And you need to be in the location of God's choosing. And thirdly, you need to be in the vocation of God. What did He do? He said, take care of the garden, cultivate it, and keep it. This is your assignment. This is the location you're supposed to be in. And this is your assignment in that location. And the reason why a lot of believers are just living a dysfunctional life is because, first of all, they refuse to come under the authority of God. Secondly, they're not in the location that God has placed them. And thirdly, they're not doing what God told them to do when they're in their assignment. And so, from the very beginning, this is the way it was. And I want you to think about something, because most of us have read this account and we've looked at that and we said, man, the Garden of Eden must have been some awesome place. Come on, man. I mean, it was paradise. Life was good in the Garden of Eden. Would you agree? You can't help but see that. Man, talk about a variety of pets. All the animals, you know, he named them all. They're all his friends. And he was in a place where, man, the food was awesome. It was good. Everything was delicious. Everything was perfect in its order. He could eat all he wanted. He had freedom to roam about in the garden. He wasn't on remote control. And he got, most importantly of all, he got to walk with the Lord in the cool of the day. Wow, fellowship with God. Life was good. Except for one thing. One stipulation, one boundary, one commandment. Do not touch, right? Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, the same thing is true today, is that God, through Jesus Christ, as a believer in Jesus, has brought us back into relationship in the Spirit with Him. Would you agree?
Yes.
We don't see the full picture, but we have a measure of heaven in us, do we not?
Yes.
And the atmosphere of heaven is wonderful. The heaven in our heart is a wonderful place that we can go, we can escape to. We can find rest in this place. We can find nourishment in this place. We can find comfort of His love in this place. It's called the secret place of the Most High, made possible by the blood of Jesus. And there's liberty in my Father's house to move about. And He came that we might have life, not to take it away, but life more abundantly. But life is not in the things of this world. Would you agree? Life is Jesus Himself. He said, I am the life. Therefore, in order for you and I to walk in life, we must worship. We must be worshipers of God. Our purpose is first and foremost is worship. And worship is a big word, is it not? We're learning about what worship is. But it's a surrendered life. Man's submission. Man's location and man's vocation by God, under the authority of God, and the place God placed him and the assignment God gave him. And the liberty that they had there was wonderful. There was no sin, there was no curse, and there was no sorrow in the garden. And you know what? In His presence there's no sin, and there's no curse, and there's no sorrow. There are no tears. I don't see it. It says the day is coming when God shall wipe away what? All tears. But we're still in this earth suit. We're still in this assignment. Amen? On location. But it's very key that you and I are in the assignment that God places us. Because if not, you're going to be like a fish out of water. A fish has to be in water, does it not? It has to be in the right environment. The environment for which it was created. And so we need to know, first of all, have I placed myself under His authority? Am I in the assignment of God? And am I living according to my God-given purpose? Am I fulfilling my destiny in God? You see, today we're living in a time where a new gospel has been introduced. It's really not a new one, but it's really taken off. It's been there all along. But it's the self-serving gospel. It's all about me, gospel. What is in it for me? What can I get out of it, gospel? But folks, that is not the gospel of Christ. It's a reality check today. And I heard it said recently from someone, but this thing that we're in is not for the faint of heart. You can't do it unless you walk with Jesus. And if you want to live godly in Christ Jesus, there's going to be some opposition. Some people aren't going to understand you. But let God be true and every man a liar. May His word, amen, rule me. May His will be done. And may we live. I talked about last week about not living for the opinions of men, but live for God. And often, if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Yeah. Perfect environment, no sorrow, no sickness, no curse, no thorns. I don't believe there's any mosquitoes in the garden. No fleas, right, Pete? Yeah. Told me he's been bombing his house. He got pets, and now that the fleas are getting in, they're like trying to bomb them out of there. And I'm glad we've got problems with them too, by the way. Our little Cookie, she's just a flea magnet or something. So. Aren't you glad that that's past, you know, tense for us, that we are actually in the kingdom now? How many are in the kingdom now? If you are born again and you are a new creation, then the Bible says that you are an heir with God in Christ, amen? That you've been raised up together with Him, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in the kingdom. And the word on our lips is, the kingdom is among you. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, right? Because we're in the kingdom. We've been commissioned by our great high priest, our commander-in-chief. Jesus told us to go. We don't have to ask, is it? It says, go. I already told you what to do. Just pray and believe God. And leave the results up to the Lord. And don't put anybody under guilt trip if you don't have the results that you thought you're supposed to have. And don't put yourself on it either. Pray, ask God to reveal to you what's going on. Show you. By revelation, Jesus operated. It was not until the fall, until the problem of independence came in. Independence from God. Right? It wasn't a problem. They walked with the Lord. It was a beautiful place, beautiful environment. But after they violated the will of God, the word of the Lord, now they're hiding from the one who they once walked with. And so the place that we need to be is in that relationship with Him. And in the relationship in the Spirit, there is true freedom. There is true liberty. The natural man, the part of us that does not want to submit to the authority of God, is the part that has to die. So if we're really driven and very selfishly ambitious and our self is just constantly calling the shots, it means that we need to worship so that thing will die. We need to pray and worship God to the point where that part of us is starved out and dead and stay in the Spirit. Because it's going to very quickly try to resurrect again. You wake up in the morning and says, I'm back. Time to put it to death again. Worship Jesus. You can't serve two masters. And if you're serving Jesus, you're focusing on Him, your heart and your mind are on Him, He'll keep you in perfect peace. And you can't serve the devil at the same time. You know, we pray, lead us not into temptation. Because worship will also put you in a place where you're not going to be vulnerable. It doesn't mean you won't be tempted. But when you worship and you stay in the Spirit, then those things that at one time would entrap you or be very easily you'd be enticed into, it's like, no way. I know what's good. I know where life is. I know where peace is. I know what it's like to have a clean conscience. And boy, does it feel good. So the devil's a liar. And what he wants to do is he wants to distract you and I from prayer, from giving thanks, from giving praise, from giving of ourselves, from obedience. He wants to get us away from submission to the Father's purpose. He wants to separate you out and make you vulnerable. Because what happens is when people begin to break off fellowship, you know, once in a while we show up just to kind of keep my foot in the door, keep my membership active, you know. No, we don't have anybody here like that. But if we're not careful, we will begin to put confidence once again in our own ability to save ourselves, fall from grace, come back under condemnation, and guilt generally, instead of pushing us towards God, it drives us away from Him. As they sinned, the first thing they wanted to do was hide from God. Jesus, the last Adam, hallelujah, came and paid the price for the sins of the world. Amen? Redeemed us, purchased us, brought us back. So that, what? What was the purpose of the cross? I want you to think about something. Was it just so we could be forgiven? Most of the time we will say, so my sins could be forgiven. And that is true. God wanted to forgive us of our sins. And the only way possible to do that is for Himself to become a man in the likeness of Adam and for the sin of Adam become that curse on a tree. Took the curse to release you and I from the bondage, amen, of the curse. Yet, it wasn't just about forgiving us. It wasn't just so I can be forgiven, folks. It was that you and I once again could come back under our Father's roof, under our Father's authority. We would be once again replaced, put back into the place where our Father now is our head again. When we were in the world, the devil was your father. When you come to Christ, you now have a new father. Amen? And that was the purpose of the cross, is that He would call out a people, a peculiar people even, zealous for good works. As we abide in Him and He abides in us and we walk in the Spirit, we walk and abide in our Father's house, we have liberty. We can move about in our Father's house. We don't have to be afraid of our Father. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has taken care of that. And when we sin, we don't run and hide from God. We run to Him. Because only in the Lord is there mercy. He will forgive us. You may have to pay a price for your disobedience. Yeah? But it's not going to be hell, but it might be hell on earth sometimes. Come on. There are decisions that people make thinking, well, God will just forgive me. I'll just go ahead and do my own thing. Well, you can do your own thing, and yes, God will forgive you, but guess what? You're going to be really upset that you weren't listening to your Father, because He loves you. And He knows what's best for you. And He knows that if you do that, there are going to be consequences. How many know the wages of sin is death? And whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So we need to be reaping, amen, as we're sowing into the Spirit, sowing in the Holy Spirit, as we're worshiping, as we're aligning ourselves with God under His authority. And we're willing to be on in the assignment that God places us. Elijah was called of the Lord, amen, to go to the brook Cherith. Remember? And he says, and it is there that I will feed you. In the assignment of God, there was going to be provision. And the day came when the brook dried up, and then God moved him on, amen, to the widow of Zarephath. And that was his new assignment. He was a man that walked with God. And when we walk with God, we will not be fulfilling the lusts of our flesh. The cross is an eliminator. The cross says, I, my old sinful nature, my selfish nature, must be canceled out. It must be done away with. It can't be about what is in it for me. What can I get out of this thing today? Because God is a good God and He will bless you and He will give good gifts to His children. But if the only purpose that we're coming is just to get something from God and not to walk with Him, then we've completely missed the whole purpose. And until we get to know Him intimately and walk with Him in, hallelujah, in the cool of the day, then life is not going to be that good. But He said, I came that you might have life. And life more abundantly. And then He said it to His disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. He's the one who came to give us life. And that's the thing. See, we think, well, if I really surrender my life, then what am I going to be losing out on? How many have ever thought that before? Maybe you're thinking about that right now. Maybe you're right now in a crossroads saying, I know I have to fully surrender my life, but what am I going to lose? The question is, if you don't, look what you're going to lose out with God. It's what you're gaining. I know where you're going, but I threw a curveball on you. It's a good point, though. What do we gain? It's not about what I'm going to lose. It's like, look what we're gaining, right? He's the pearl of great price. When we come to realize the value and the worthiness of Him, it causes us to worship. It causes us to want to approach Him and to want to just receive of His life so that His life will consume this old dead thing, amen, and be quickened by Him and refreshed by Him and enjoy the fellowship of His Spirit and to hear the voice of the shepherd as He leads us in the truth. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Those living independently of God are living outside of their original purpose. You see, people think this is really what I want. How many have ever thought that in the world, This is what I really want. I just want a party, Only to find out that's not really what I wanted. And I don't know what I want. And Jesus says, I'm what you want. And sometimes as Christians, it takes us a while to learn as well that He's what you really want. I mean, He's so wonderful, so awesome, yet it's a process, isn't it? We sang that song, All to You, I Surrender. All of me, every part of me. Now, we say that. But it's not until we do that that we really know abundant life. That we're really set free from the problems that I get myself into, and I'm liberated by the Spirit of God to walk with peace in my heart and in my mind. Amen? And to be walking in the original purpose for which I was created. Before we were ever, birthed, God knew who you were. Had a plan, still does. You're here, He's still got the plan for you. But it's in the place of surrender. It's the crucified life where you experience the life of God. It's transitioning from the old into the new. It's forsaking death and embracing life. It's not walking in law, it's walking in grace. And there's liberty and grace, and people who are legalistic, people who walk in law, don't understand that. I'm not talking about going out here and indulging the flesh. I'm just talking about there's liberties that you have in the Lord where there's life and peace in my Father's house. I can run around. I can play. I can, like the song says, we play football in my Father's house. Well, you never know. There might be a football field there. There is. Okay. See, God didn't come to make us miserable. But in surrender, there's joy. There's peace. There's love, perfect love and surrender. I'm not stressed out. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear. I'm not worried about the future, because in Him there is perfect peace. There's a peace that goes beyond my intellect. Am I able to? I can't figure it all out. I'm not going to try to figure it all out. I'm just going to rest in Him. Okay, God, You know what You're doing. I don't always know what You're doing, but I'm going to trust You anyways. Why? You don't have to carry it, like Nels was saying. You don't have to carry that baggage. Unload it. Jesus took care of it already. He's the burden bearer. Unload it. As we worship, as we draw near. Hallelujah. If you draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. Another point I want to make is that the purpose of the cross is not that we could just add God to our life. You know, putting a new patch on an old garment, right? It's not a patch job. The purpose of the cross was not so I could add God to my life, but that God once again could govern me. He's smarter than I am. And He loves me. And He knows what's best for me. The way that seemed right to me, you know, turned out to be the way of death. The way of independence from God's authority was the way of death. Yet, in my natural thinking, this is the way, because you're naturally inclined to rebel against God's authority and want to be your own God and the destiny of your own life. Control your own destiny. Isn't that what Satan did? He convinced mankind that he could live independent of God's rule and authority. And still have the blessing and favor of God. I want you to hear that. That you could be God, he said. But he convinced them that they could disobey the instruction of the Lord and still have the blessing and favor of God. That was the delusion, you see. If they ever knew what they were going to lose, they would never have done that. And isn't that the way it is about sin? If we truly knew the consequences of our actions, we wouldn't do it. And that's why Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They didn't realize the seriousness of what they were doing. But you see the mercy of God in Jesus. That even though they were crucifying Him, He still had mercy, said, "Father, forgive them, because they know not." Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And I'm going to finish this up, but listen, humanism has crept into the church. It's a gospel that accommodates the flesh, life, and serves self rather than Christ. And it's a popular gospel, by the way, isn't it? Oh, it's a popular one. The whole focus, you know, shifts from God to self. What's in it for me? As a matter of fact, we have churches, not this one, thank God, but there's a lot of churches that are all just about what's in it for me. And so we even have our services. We can tailor them to be seeker-sensitive. We can tailor our services to accommodate the rebellion that's in man and just say all you got to do is add a little bit to the old, where God requires that one will repent of his sins. That he will surrender his life to Jesus Christ. That is the requirement of the gospel. The cross says, "I am done with the self-life. I am now going to live for Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Oh. And all to him. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. Love you. Adam and Eve. They enjoyed abundant life, you know. It was a wonderful place. Another thing I wrote down, a self-serving gospel has been introduced in our day that exalts the self-life above the rule of God. the self-life above the rule of God. In other words, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want, however I want. And once in a while, I just kind of say yes to God. If it fits into my plans. How many know that that doesn't work? You know, that's when you hear people say, well, I tried Christianity. No, what you tried to do is patch your life up. You should try to add a little of this to the old nasty dead thing. God says, that has to die. I'm going to give you a brand new heart, a brand new life, a brand new beginning. And now you just need to submit to me and follow my lead. And I will lead you beside still waters. I will bring you into places of refreshing. I will show you who you are in me as a son, as a daughter. I will give you access to the kingdom because it's my pleasure, my Father's good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. It's for this purpose that he died. It's for you, to purchase you and me, to bring us back under his roof. And when we say authority, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to be under my Father's authority. I feel safe under my Father's authority. Children feel safe under their parents' authority. And when there's discipline in the home, it's not a bad thing. It's the best thing. As long as it's done in love. And whatever God does is in love. Would you agree? And there's safety in that. I can relax in God's presence. How many can relax in God's presence? And we can only do that because we recognize that Jesus has paid the price for me. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it's by the blood of Jesus that I can come with confidence to my Father's house. And that I can receive the mercy and the grace that I need. Not because of my performance, because God says your performance stinks. I'm sorry. Now what you do under my house and under my roof is okay. You know, but what you did independently of me stinks. Because it's flesh. And all flesh shall die. Amen? But what we do in obedience to the Spirit, to walk with our Father, to live for His pleasure, you see. Not because I have to, but because I get to. He doesn't want to be an add-on to your old life. He wants to give you new life, a new heart, a restored relationship with Him. And the way to abundant life is not adding life to the old, but crucifying the selfish part of me that resists His rule and authority in my life. Folks, I want to ask you a question this morning. How motivated are you by the love of God today? How much of Him does He have? Or how much of His do you have? Have you given control to God in your daily life? Do we truly acknowledge Him in our ways? Do we truly allow God to be Lord of our days? Or do we just kind of do our own thing and plan our own thing and then ask God to bless it? Because that's the self-life. Now, God will give you freedom. God has given you the ability to dream. God has given you and I imagination so that even as He is creative, so we can be creative. And we have a lot of liberty in this world, okay, as sons and daughters. But what we need to do is we need to commit our ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass. So whatever it is that you have in your heart to do, take it before the Father. Submit it to Him. And if God is in it, He will bless it and multiply it. If He's not, it's not going to happen. Or it may happen for a season, but it'll produce death. There are people who have become rich, chasing after their own things. And some who have even said, well, God did this for me. Not necessarily. Because when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, He was being offered the kingdoms of this world. If he would just bow down to Him. I want you to hear this. The devil will offer you something that is glittering as gold, but may not be what God wants for you. Yes, and even those who desire to be rich in this world may fall into many traps. Amen? What we need to say is, Lord, do you want me to do this? God may want you to be rich so you can bless other people. But it's not everybody's assignment. Place yourself under God's authority. Be in the assignment that He places you. Submit everything you do to God and say, Lord, I want your approval. I want the green light before I chase after this. And then, when you're in the place of His assignment, the provision will be there. His grace will be there. For where I am, Jesus said, there my servant will be also. We want to know, where is Jesus? And I want to get with Jesus and do what He's doing. And that's the crucified life. It's no longer I that live, like Paul said, but Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for me. That's life. The way of self-will is the way of death. There is a way that seems right unto a man. It seems right. But in the end, it produces death. As for me and my house, we have decided to not any longer splash around in the shallow end, say, get a little sample and say, yeah, that was nice. Or even to the knees or to the waist. How many know God wants us to jump into the deep end? Because there's water deep enough for swimming in the Spirit. And it's in that place where no longer am I working at serving, but the Father is doing the work. We operate out of rest, not out of stress. Out of relationship, not out of performance. As we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. As we do His good will, He abides with us still. And to all who will trust and obey. That's where liberty's at. It's in Christ. I thought I was free. Anybody else here thought you were free one day? Well, you still got to fight that old nature, don't you, every day. Keep it in its place. But this is the life that Jesus came, that we might have. And it's not to... is to walk with Him. All right, I'm done. I'm hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where'd you stand? It's only 3 o'clock. I was just getting started, too.